Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. There are at least two major gun rights stories in New Jersey right now. Did you know that? The state legislature has failed to override Governor Christie's veto of a bill that would have required local law enforcement to be notified when someone tries to get a mental health record expunged for the sake of buying a firearm. This happened a few days ago. Originally, the bill passed the legislature unanimously. Now they have failed to override the governor's veto, meaning people who need to get their troubling mental health records ignored in order to buy a gun can still do so in New Jersey without the local police being told about it. Second, and this is the newer one, a commission appointed by Christie has recommended three ways that gun laws should be changed. One, allow more people to carry handguns. Two, allow people with carry permits from other states to carry those weapons in New Jersey, even if New Jersey law would prohibit them. And three, this one's a crackdown, that the state attorney general crack down on New Jersey towns and cities that are too slow to approve gun permit applications. This from the governor who once said he got into politics to preserve an assault weapons ban. That governor said this about gun control laws yesterday in New Hampshire.
They're kind of like cotton candy after a while. You know, you get a little sugar high 5 minutes after it happens, and then a half an hour later, you don't even remember you ate it because it does nothing for you.
Let's look at how the presidential race and New Jersey gun laws are meeting each other with our Christie tracker, WNYC's and New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz. He also hosts our Christie Tracker podcast. Hi, Matt.
Hi there, Brian.
So this commission report is the newest news here. Why was there a commission in the first place?
On the eve of Christie's presidential announcement, literally the night before, he issued this surprise press release saying that he was creating a commission to look into whether New Jersey gun laws are constitutional. And we immediately were cynical about this, of course, because one of Christie's biggest vulnerabilities as a Republican candidate, particularly in pro-gun New Hampshire, is the fact that he's been a relatively moderate, maybe even left of center on guns through his career. So he creates this commission, and we're anticipating what could happen with this commission. Then he announces he's going to run for president, and nothing happens with the commission for months. He had said he was going to announce the names of the people on the commission within days or weeks. Nothing happens. Reporters started checking in last month. This is like 5 months later. They said there was no members yet, and then lo and behold, 2 days ago, out of nowhere, they hadn't even announced the names prior to this, but the commission comes out with a report, and there are three people with close ties to the governor who are the members of the commission, and they make three recommendations, and Christie says he's immediately accepting them. So he kind of surprisingly and almost out of nowhere made three changes to New Jersey gun laws unilaterally. It doesn't require any legislative approval. It's already basically going into effect.
How can he do that on his own? Why does the law allow that?
Because he's an executive, so he can change regulations, and he also has the attorney general is his appointee, so it's within his purview. There appears to be some pushback from Ceasefire New Jersey, which is a gun control group, and they're looking for records and from this commission, but I don't think they have much. There's much they can do to block this. I mean, it's the executive's job to write regulations, and much of what he's doing is tweaking those regulations.
Did you say, because I didn't know this part, that this was a public three-member commission, or I should say a commission to decide policy on a public issue appointed by the governor that had been doing its job for months without the names of the commissioners being revealed?
They finally revealed the names the day their report was issued, and we found out that one of them works for the governor. He's an attorney in the governor's office. Another is the vice dean at Seton Hall Law School and married to the governor's chief ethics officer, who was a position that was created in the wake of Bridgegate. and another worked for the governor, another lawyer here worked for the governor in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Their names were released when their report was issued. This is pretty unusual. The governor has created lots of commissions, and often he makes an announcement, and then a few weeks later you get the names, and then, you know, a few months after that you get their report. I don't remember in all my time covering him having them having done something like this, and I'm not sure why they would have.
How can they even do that? I mean, it doesn't sound like America that a governor could appoint a secret commission to study a public policy issue and then report back to him.
In an ideal world, you would imagine there'd be hearings, and there'd be, you know, you'd be able to, there'd be a place where you could actually email suggestions, and there have been commissions like that. The New Jersey governor is the most powerful in the country, and I haven't heard any. I've heard some pushback from Democrats that they don't like this process, but I haven't heard anything that, you know, there's been no calls for hearings. There's been no efforts by New Jersey Democrats to sue him over this. So I don't think he's really getting any political or legal pushback, even if it sounds, you know, odd to the
when you say
us.
The governor of New Jersey is the most powerful governor in the country, you mean by state law, the way it sets up the executive branch powers compared to the legislative branch?
Exactly right. And compared to other governors, he can, and compared to even the president relative to Congress, he can veto out budgetary items. He appoints the attorney general, which most attorney generals in the country are separate from the governor. He appoints the attorney general. In fact, in New Jersey, he hasn't even sent his attorney general to the Senate for confirmation. So we've had an acting attorney general for 2 years in the state of New Jersey, which means his entire existence he owes to the governor. He doesn't even have any constitutional protections that might come with being approved by the legislature and the Senate. So when the governor, for example, directs him to do something related to guns, you don't really hear any pushback. But yeah, relative to other governors and their powers, related to the legislature, the New Jersey governor is considered the most potent in the country.
And the attorney general of the state is ordered to do something in one of these three commission recommendations that the governor is implementing, that the attorney general crack down on cities or localities around the state that are too slow to approve gun permit applications. Can you explain it a little more?
There's been some reporting that conservative groups have sent people into towns in New Jersey to try to get gun permits. And there have been secret recordings taken that indicate that in some cases, cops are saying, you know, we don't let old people get guns, or we use a lot of our own discretion in issuing permits. There have been anecdotal stories cited by this commission report that, you know, it takes people months, maybe even longer to get their gun permits reviewed. And it's kind of inconsistent across the state. Some towns are fast, some towns are slow. There was no real study done of this, which was a criticism that Democrats made, but the commission cited these anecdotal complaints about how long and how inconsistent gun permit laws are applied. So now the governor is taking those anecdotal stories, and he is telling his attorney general to issue a directive to local governments and police departments to say, hey, these are the rules. You've got to issue permits and respond to applications within X number of days. And these are the only required restrictions, and you cannot go further than that.
And they're expanding who would be eligible for a carry permit. And listeners, I want to go on a little fishing expedition here, Matt. And Matt Katz, our Christie tracker, is with us. The easy part is, listeners, do you approve of these changes to gun laws that the governor's commission has proposed and the governor will implement, or the one he vetoed about expunging mental health records to get a firearm permit and local law enforcement not having to know about it? They still don't have to know about it. The legislature has now failed to override the veto on that. 212-433-WNYC. New Jersey listeners, do you have an opinion? 212-433-9692. Anybody who's ever applied for a carry permit or anyone else. The other thing, and we'll get into this in a minute, Jeb Bush in the presidential primary race is going after Chris Christie by name now. We'll play a clip in a little while of Jeb Bush saying that he was a better governor when he was governor of Florida than Chris Christie is in New Jersey. Jeb Bush, I was a better governor than Chris Christie. I wonder if we have anybody listening right now who lived in Florida when Bush was governor and lives in New Jersey now and has an opinion. Maybe you're a Democrat and you don't like either of them, but that's okay. Two Republican governors running against each other. Jeb Bush says, I was a better governor than Chris Christie is. Do we happen to have anybody right now? I know it's a fishing expedition, who lived in Florida when Jeb Bush was governor and lives in New Jersey now and wants to compare the two by any basis of comparison. We would love to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Matt, let's keep explaining these new gun policies. Can you explain the one about expanding who can get a carry permit?
The carry permit in New Jersey is pretty restrictive. He has changed the language to say that those who face, quote, serious threats could qualify for carrying a handgun because it's a concealed permit. The language is pretty technical, and this essentially loosens it. The requirements to get a gun would now be loosened and to carry it around. In other words, if you have no other way of protecting yourself or whomever is reviewing the permit deems that you have no other way of protecting yourself, you can now have a permit to carry. And this is actually one of the elements of his changes that to the New Jersey law that is already getting applause in, wouldn't you know it, New Hampshire. 32 hours after he announced these changes to gun laws, there was an editorial written by a Second Amendment activist in New Jersey, written in the New Hampshire Union Leader, which is the largest newspaper in New Hampshire. The paper has endorsed Christie. And the editorial, this is just dropped last night, was headlined, Christie's strong record supporting New Jersey gun owners. And one of the major points that the editorial writer cited was the gun carry change. So he's already getting traction for these changes in the state that he's, you know, centering his presidential hopes on.
And what about this exemption from New Jersey's carry laws for anyone with a carry permit from another state? I guess that means if you would not qualify for a carry permit in New Jersey, they're not going to bust you for it, for your gun, if you have a carry permit from another state?
There have been several cases of people driving through New Jersey with guns in their cars, getting pulled over for other reasons, and then getting, you know, busted for violating New Jersey law, even though they own the gun legally in their home states. These have become sort of these people have become sort of cause celebs in the gun rights community. This was really considered unfair to them. There are some, you know, stories of people just going to work and not realizing they were violating New Jersey law or driving through New Jersey for work, etc. The governor's actually issued 4 pardons for people like this. So now he's changing the way it works. If you're legally purchased whatever sort of weapon you have in Mississippi and are carrying it legally and happen to be driving through New Jersey, you can't be like hanging out here for all of Christmas vacation the way he wrote the change. But if you're driving through to get gas, to go to the bathroom, this is true. I guess if you're like, in Pennsylvania and you need to pop over from the Poconos to go to the bathroom in New Jersey, that's kosher. And if you're driving through, like on the turnpike, I guess, to another state, there are several sort of specific reasons you can be in New Jersey with your legal gun without getting busted under New Jersey law now.
I think we have a caller who lived in Florida when Bush was governor and lives in New Jersey now, Vincent in Sayreville. Hi, Vincent. You're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in. When did you live in Florida?
I lived in Florida about 2 months ago.
Until a few months ago?
Mm-hmm.
You say you lived... Sorry, you said you lived in Florida until a few months ago?
Yeah.
Well, welcome to New Jersey. Let me play something that Jeb Bush said on the campaign trail.
I would say it's the record of accomplishment. My record in Florida compared to his, when people look at it,
I'm a reform-minded conservative that got to do big things. He didn't. He hasn't. We were AAA bond rated. He's had credit downgrades. We led the nation in job growth. New Jersey hasn't done as well.
Jeb Bush. And Vincent, if you're new to New Jersey, maybe you don't have too much of a basis of comparison, but what do you think about these two guys as governors compared to each other from what you do know?
Well, I moved back and forth quite a bit, and I find that Chris Christie is a lot quicker. Whenever something comes up, he's a lot faster at getting stuff done and pushing things through than Bush is, and it's nice to see that something is done when you want it done, or if there's a problem, it's not being batted back and forth between different opponents.
Vincent, thank you very much. Anyone else who lived in Florida when Bush was governor and now lives in New Jersey want to fact check? It's really opinion check. This is your opinion on who is a better governor, Jeb Bush or Chris Christie. 212-433-WNYC. Let's save that line because everybody else is calling in about guns. Let's save that line for anybody else for a Florida-New Jersey comparison. 212-433-9692. John and Carteret, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Just calling. I deal with a lot of carry permits here in New Jersey, and unless you're a retired cop or law enforcement and you keep your retired carry permit active, it's virtually impossible for me to get letter of needs, what we call letter of need, through the system to get somebody a carry permit in New Jersey. It could take up to a year, and then it gets shut down. And you were right on before when you said each municipality has a different sort of way of doing it, a different speed. It's left so much discretion up to people. So, you know, it's become almost impossible for anybody outside of retired law enforcement to get a carry permit in New Jersey, except for cash in transit.
Do you have an opinion as to what the carry law should be? Who should be eligible?
I think that, you know, there's potential for a lot of jobs, decent-paying jobs, that would require a carry permit. I think people that go through some rigorous background checks and rigorous documented training should be allowed to get a carry permit to use it for work in the state of New Jersey.
To use it for work. What kinds of private sector jobs would require you to carry a gun?
There's a lot of corporate headquarters and executives in New Jersey that are based here, global companies, so they have executive protection. There's a lot of banks in New Jersey and neighborhoods that have a lot of robberies that need that type of protection. Of course, cash in transit is a big one in any state. You know, so it can you can go on and on.
And you make your living partly, do I understand correctly, helping people go through the carry permit process?
Yes.
And what kinds of people, if you feel at liberty to say, obviously you don't have to name any names, what kinds of people tend to hire you for that service?
A lot of Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies.
Huh.
A lot.
Really?
There's some of the biggest names in the world that I'm not going to mention on the air, but yes.
Executives who want to protect themselves, you're saying?
Not, you know, it's not so much as there are that some of the executives, but there are some companies that like to have armed officers, private security officers at their locations, banks, and even things like truck stops in the middle of the night.
John, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Barbara in Florham Park. Barbara, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This really just hit my radar yesterday, and this is the first I've heard the details about it. And I'm practically in tears. I'm shaking so badly because I am just so upset at these changes. And the thing that really strikes me is that I feel like in the last several months, everything Christie has done has been for his presidential campaign, and he doesn't care what happens in this state. He has written it off.
And there, Barbara, thank you. And there is, Matt Katz, that implication in this story, and Fox News has asked Chris Christie about the statement that he made when he was first running for office. I'm sure you know precisely what it was. Something about getting into politics in the first place to restrict gun possession?
In 1993, when Christie first ran for office as a freeholder, he said what motivated him to get into the race was to preserve the New Jersey ban on assault weapons, which was a controversy at the time. And then in 1995, he ran for state senate, a job he never got. But in that race, he actually had flyers issued where he said that there were too many guns in our communities, and he showed his opponents on the flyers with guns, saying that they were a threat to the community because they were too pro-gun. I mean, he definitely, this was the first issue that he ran for office on. He had also said through a spokesman earlier in his governorship in the first term that he thought New Jersey gun laws were good just the way they are. In the second term, he has moved to the right on this issue in many ways. I mean, he vetoed a bill which would have reduced the size of ammunition magazines from 15 rounds to 10. He had initially proposed a ban on the sale of the 50 caliber rifle, but then there was some controversy in New Hampshire over it. This is before he was a presidential candidate, but as he was moving toward running, and there was a New Hampshire gun group that had lobbied him against such a ban, and he then reversed his position on it and vetoed the ban on the 50 caliber rifle once it was approved by the legislature. There have been several measures here that indicate that the governor has moved right on guns the closer he's gotten to becoming a presidential candidate.
Carol in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You lived in Florida?
Yes, I did. I lived in Florida from 1998 to 2004, and I've been in New Jersey ever since. And I believe that Jeb Bush was a better governor, but we have to keep in context that we're talking about politicians, and also that Jeb Bush comes from a southern state, and we have Chris Christie, who's from the north. So the mentalities of the people in those states are totally different, and there's a lot of cultural aspects and political differences and socioeconomic makeups that you see down south that you don't see up here necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so Jeb Bush I found him to be a governor who did get the job done. When I lived in Florida, I mean, the social services there, if you needed it, were very organized and something that you could come in and not have to wait endlessly for assistance if you needed it. The medical facilities also, if you had to go in for assistance, it wasn't like you were there hours on end trying to get emergency care. And so Chris Christie just seems to me that he is more catering to himself and to trying to advance his political career. And there's just a lot of corruption in New Jersey as a whole, not to say that there isn't any in Florida, because I'm sure it runs rampant there, but in a different ways. And Jeb Bush just had a way of really just coming across as a governor who just got the job done. And he was no nonsense when he was governor. And for that, I think he did a better job.
Carol, thank you so much. I really appreciate your thoughtful take, with which I think Tony in Wilton is going to disagree. Tony, you lived in Florida when Bush was governor?
Yes, I did for several years. I don't know, I was a resident there from 92 to 2005. Of course, I'm a left of center Democrat, so that tallies a little bit. But Bush was always he was a developer, and he was always in the pocket of the developers. That was so obvious when he got to be governor.
So we're going to have a developer as the Republican nominee almost no matter what, is what you're saying, right? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. He favored them and allowed them to run the legislature to a great extent. And so I would rate him actually a D as a governor. The one thing that I would rate him a little bit higher on would be immigration. He did seem favorable towards some immigration programs. But I would rate him a D as well as... From what I read and everything, the same thing with the same thing with Christie.
Tony, thank you very much. A D on both their houses. I wonder, for our last few minutes here, if there's anybody in law enforcement in New Jersey listening right now, or retired law enforcement is okay, who has an opinion on this mental health records bill, the one that the legislature passed and Christie vetoed, and now the legislature has failed to override the veto. If somebody gets their mental health records expunged for the sake of getting a gun permit, local law enforcement does not need to be involved in or informed in the area where this person lives, and that will continue to be the case after this veto and failure to override. Any law enforcement people or former law enforcement people have an opinion about whether you would like to know or you think your agency should know? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Matt Katz, tell us a little bit about this expungement. I guess that's the legal term, expungement of mental health records gun bill.
This was something that was actually requested by the courts, and it wasn't controversial. It wasn't actually vocally blocked or opposed by the NRA or the gun lobby. It was just a way, something that the judges requested, that cops be notified and clear applicants who want to expunge their mental health records so they could get a so they can get a gun permit. And it passed unanimously. And Christie, technically, he conditionally vetoed it. His reasoning, what he basically crossed out a bunch of provisions and added a bunch of new provisions. His argument was this was a piecemeal approach to the mental health problems in our country, and he wanted changes to the New Jersey mental health system, a whole range of technical changes to the New Jersey mental health system. And Republican legislators have since responded and come up with a bill that would incorporate the initial bill and the governor's other changes, but Democrats aren't moving that. They've now tried twice to override the veto. Actually, it was overridden in the Senate. It was the first time since Christie's been governor that any bill of any kind was overridden by a House of the legislature. So it was overridden in the Senate, but it has failed to garner the two-thirds votes to be overridden in the Assembly. There have been two votes taken, and there's supposed to even be a third in a few weeks. So that'll probably be the last time we'll hear from this.
Did you say the bill was passed unanimously by the legislature, and yet they failed to override the veto?
Yes. In fact, that's because all but four Republicans switched their votes to oppose the bill. This has been consistent through Christie's term. Time and again, Republicans have voted for bills. Sometimes they've sponsored bills, but if the governor vetoes, they fall in line and then do not vote to override the governor's veto. I've heard different explanations for this. Some it's just a sense of kind of protocol. If the leader of your party is opposed to something, then it is appropriate for you to then agree with the leader of your party. Obviously, Democrats think that Republicans are being weak-kneed. And also there's a sense on both sides of the aisle that there's a fear of retribution, that the governor can do things as the leader of the state, legal things, to retaliate against those legislators that are not on his team. And there's a sense that he will lose the presidential election, come back to New Jersey, and make sure he settles the score with any legislators that, you know, aren't on Team Christie. So there's various reasons why this may be the case, but it's a very common thing in the Christie era for Republicans to switch their votes if the governor vetoes a bill.
Let me just take one call on this. Matt in Montville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt. We've only got about a minute for you, but thanks so much for calling on this.
I appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to make it quick, and I'll take comments off the air. You know, as a very strong believer in gun control, I also do think this is a very slippery slope. A lot of our veterans are returning home from, you know, the battlefield, from this arena, with some serious mental health problems. And the more laws we implement around these guns against you know, people with mental health owning guns, the less likely our veterans, who obviously enjoy hunting and target shooting, the less likely they are to go and seek these mental health
Expungement. I see. Yes, right. He makes a point, Matt. Do you think this would apply to vets who might have PTSD diagnoses but want to be hunters, which is kind of the scenario that Matt paints? And if it doesn't say they can't get their records expunged. I don't know.
No, it's an interesting point. But it doesn't forbid them from ever owning a gun if they've been committed to a mental health institution. It just says that local law enforcement would need to be consulted. Right. So it does pose another hurdle. But that is an interesting scenario for sure.
So the expungement, I mean, there has to be a court record in the first place to expunge. So this only applies to people who've been institutionalized for mental health purposes, that if they were to get a gun and get their records wiped off the books so that they'd be allowed to get a gun, that law enforcement in their local community be told, right?
Correct.
That's what the bill would have done if it had passed. All right, there we leave it with our Christie tracker, Matt Katz. Obviously, it's a good day for gun rights in New Jersey under governor/presidential hopeful Chris Christie. Matt, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Slate's chief political correspondent, Jamel Bowie, asked the question, are we letting Trump supporters off the hook too easily by saying they have economic frustrations rather than calling them racist? Stay with us.